no storm lasts forever. That's one thing I'll say for myself and why I'm so deeply curious and constantly learning is I'm looking for as many cut-throughs as I can find. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. Some days versus other days. But I visualize this. So when you start looking at yourself, you can almost take yourself out of yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying like, oh, it's this grandiose thing. Just enough to question, what do I do? It creates this perspective when we're in the moment. If you have had enough trauma, it's possible that you might just believe that this will never go away. It's so intense. It's like, it's never going to get better. It was this, I wanted the pain to go away. And just this, the pain just weighed on me. It just compounded. And I just went upstairs and I just took a knife to my throat.
Welcome to Why Daddy Never Cries podcast with your host, Chuck Kelleher. At Why Daddy Never Cries, we'll explore the lives surrounding daddies, their children, divorce, and silent domestic violence. We'll hear real-life horror stories from unsung heroes fighting for the ability to stay in their children's lives. We'll get those voices heard and hopefully find solutions before you lunatics burn the whole place to the ground. Hang in there, daddies. Chuck's here.
Chuck Kelleher and Why Daddy Never Cries are providing this podcast as a public service. I've known Chuck for 45 years, and he's neither a lawyer nor a mental health professional. He's not a doctor nor a rogue scholar by any stretch of the imagination. Chuck is simply a guy who's lived in hell for 20 years. Once he found a way out, he drew a map to help others navigate their own way home. The views and opinions expressed by Why Daddy Never Cries, employees, or our guests are their own. Guest appearance on the program do not imply an endorsement of them, their opinions, or any entity they represent. And please, for the love of God, if you have any questions or fears about your unique circumstances, please contact a lawyer, a religious leader of your choice, or a medical professional in your area. Don't fuck this up, brothers, because we're all in this together.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Voss G2, for helping small and medium-sized businesses elevate their brand perception with design. Take your brand to the next level at VossG2.com. We'd also like to thank Harry Duran and his team at Fullcast for their amazing assistance. If you're planning a podcast and you haven't contacted Fullcast, you might as well call your show Podfade.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with John Voss, the owner of Voss G2. Sound familiar? It should. He's one of the first companies who took a chance on this show. John Voss, not only a friend of mine since childhood, hence why he took a chance on the show, John's a brand designer. He's done logos for Mike Bloomberg's 2020 campaign. He's done brand designing for 5 TV networks. Over 10 years of Kellogg's promotions from movies to athletes. If you've seen Troy Aikman, Hank Aaron, Joe Theismann, basically, if you've seen an old Kellogg's box, John's worked on it. 6 NASCAR Cup Series teams. 6 college HBCU football events. Let's put it this way. John knows how to brand. John and I have been talking weekly, kind of in an accountability group for 2 years, maybe. What do you think, John? 2 years?
Yeah, about that.
And we've noticed a pattern in trauma that we go through being divorced, parent alienated, falsely accused people, and what he's gone through in his life. And we kind of want to just start putting some of the dots together. Let's put it that way. John, welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, man. How's it going, Chuck?
Good, man. Good.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, sir. It has. John, you took your branding knowledge and you started looking in at yourself, the same as I've been doing since I went through my thing. And it's really the only way we came out on the other side and not ended up a statistic or on the news. You redesigned your life. And I had said to you the other day, successfully, and you quickly stopped me.
Because it's a process.
Got it.
And it's still something that is climbing up a hill. And I still see there's quite a ways I need to go. But I'm at the place where I need to start sharing what I know.
I like what you say about climbing the hill, because you're right. You're not at the top of the hill yet, but you know where you are? You're at a place where you got a pretty fucking beautiful view. And that's worth taking a picture and sharing it with your friends and family and anybody else who wants to see a beautiful view.
That's a great point, because I think you kind of our discussion earlier, everyone is unique and everyone has their own different journeys. If you use part of what I'm doing with this kind of redesigned life thought, is understanding myself deeply in the sense of my personality type. And the reason for that is it's just this sense of self-awareness. Your personality type is a little bit more of a manual and a guide for you to know. So things that I'm going to do wrong for myself are going to be different than things that you do wrong, because we have different personality types. For me, my personality type, if you follow the Enneagram, I'm an Enneagram 9, Wing 1. So with my personality type, we fall asleep to ourselves, and we don't want to deal with things that are difficult. And that can come off on a lot of different ways, because we are very avoidance driven. If you get pushed too far, like my kids would say, I'm like a volcano. It's a suppression of your feelings. You get to a point and there's a release, and that release, unfortunately, is just explosive.
Yeah.
That sounds like you.
You know me. I know you. Yep. One of the similarities between John's trauma and what a lot of, if not all of us, divorced, parent alienated, falsely accused people experience is the need to end the pain. And that's where John and I kind of looked at each other and said, holy shit, you've been able to overcome an experience, a lifetime experience, and I'll let him get into that. And this is what we're trying to stop 6 to 8 men in every country around the world a day do. John, can you get into your particular trauma?
Sure.
You don't have to get too deep into it, but just as much as you're willing to share.
No, I'm willing to share anything. The majority of my trauma it's called complex PTSD. And for me, it was connected to really my entire life in the educational system and just how I was treated. It's just, I'm very dyslexic. And the time when we went to school, me and Chuck and our age, there wasn't any tools for teachers. They didn't know what to do other than, I guess, just go with whatever they felt.
Yeah.
Because no one talked about it, but essentially I was made fun of and just, so anyways, the educational system was not my friend.
Growing up in New York, they made you more thick skinned than took the time to help you. I cried as a kid and they beat the shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, the thing that the trauma for me that kind of stuck was this belief system. And the belief system was largely started by the school system and going through that process and experience, which was, I believed I was stupid.
Yeah.
And because I was stupid, I wasn't going to be successful. And the only way I could make a living would be to use my art or my music. Anyway, so it becomes a very limiting perspective. And your mind holds on to that. The trauma for me is just a lifelong of that and a very limiting connection of what could be possible. So what has happened was then I started getting into drinking and things like that in my teens. And I've always had this issue with self-harm.
Okay.
There's this possibility that I had actually experienced trauma before I was born. There's scientists out there that are talking about this.
Like in the womb trauma?
Yes. Or you can experience the trauma from your parent. My mom had lost two brothers before me. And I was told that the only reason why I was even born was because they didn't make it.
Because I wouldn't have had more than two kids. You have another sibling. That's.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But you have your parent tell you that.
And we grew up with parents who told you fucking how it was.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, he's like, how do you process that when you're a kid? It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no shit.
So this gets into this, where I am now, where it's self-reflection. So you can look back at that and just, do I remember this stuff? No, I don't. But the things that I do remember, I remember before I could even talk, I was holding my breath and I was trying to kill myself. And my mother had told me that you would hold your breath and you scared us and I would pass out.
Wow, that's hard to do.
it started that young. I look at it this way. Each of us have this cup inside of us, and everyone's cup is a different size. So maybe some people can hold more than others. So it's like when your cup is full, then you're at that PTSD level. It's like you've hit that level of trauma. But we all experience trauma, I believe. And from everything that I've heard, it sounds like trauma is something that we all experience at different points of our lives and in different places. It's a matter of, I think, your personality type and the trauma you experience. It makes it all unique.
Hey, John, do you mind sharing what happened when your cup got full?
Yeah. So when my cup got full, I had in my teens, I had this vision of, I guess if I wasn't going to be successful, but by 25, and I don't even know what success was, honestly, I believed if I was successful, that would make the pain go away.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah. So 25 was the date I had set. Like if I didn't make it, there's no reason why I need to exist. I wanted the pain to go away. And just this, the pain just weighed on me. It just compounded. And I got to this point when in my, you know, around, I guess 17, 18, I would get drunk and joyride. I mean, I was flirting with death on so many different ways. And, you know, I even when I was younger, I would do a lot of self-harm, cutting myself, sticking needles in my arm, and I look at it, it was always just, I was trying to feel something.
I could stomach the physical pain. The mental pain is just so, oh my God, it's so different. But the anxiety, the anxiousness, gnawing of mental pain is, it's a lot.
100%.
I'll leave it at that.
You know, I think it got to this point where, I mean, we are friends at this point, and I try to end it.
I remember.
There are a couple of points before that where I would compare it more to flirting with suicide. And there was that one, it was a Memorial Day weekend, and I went joyriding. I racked up my car, I brought it back home, and I just went upstairs and I just took a knife to my throat and I just ripped it across.
I remember. And you sped off from a party that we were at, and that was...
Yeah.
Do you realize you touch your throat while you tell this story? Did you know that?
Yeah, I always...
I was curious if you were actually going to say how you did it or not, but was just watching you. And I was like, wow, I never noticed that.
Yeah. I think the thing that allows me to understand what other people are going through is you get to this lowest of lows, and it just, I remember being at parties. It could be a room full of people and I'm literally by myself.
Yeah.
I think the trauma for me, it was part of that. But I mean, the whole connection with suicide, I understand it's this sense of you wanting, I don't know, we might not want to put this stuff up there.
I believe it for the experts, man.
Yeah.
Like the opening thing says, John and I are just a couple of traumatized guys trying to figure this out for the next generation and this current generation. So, you know, we're not clinically trained in a lot of this stuff. We're just figuring it out like the rest of you. And as we carve our path, we're sharing what we learn with everybody who's willing to take the next steps. So here, John, you use an analogy. IKEA is like in a Disney experience. And then you use that to explain what we can do in our own lives.
Yeah.
Am I getting into that?
Yeah, sure. It's almost like the beginning of your podcast. You know, you've experienced certain things and you want to provide the breadcrumbs for other people. I had thought about this, and I think there's a large part of what's going on in social media currently. You have all these people who are sharing the things that they've been going through. For those who have shopped at IKEA, the experience is really for that kind of entertaining shopping, you know, walkthrough experience. So you navigate through the store and you're seeing all this great stuff. And that's the main way it's designed. But, and this has happened to me many times, like I know what I'm looking for. I'm just trying to get in and out of the store as fast as possible. They actually designed the interior layout to have these cut-throughs. So it's almost like what we're doing, you know, why should you share the things you're going through or the wins that you've made? to help other people see those cut-throughs.
Okay.
For those who don't want to follow those cut-throughs, maybe that you need to follow that experience.
You need the longer journey to get to the same place.
Yeah, yeah. But for those who, like, that's one thing I'll say for myself and why I'm so deeply curious and constantly learning is I'm looking for as many cut-throughs as I can find. Maybe we, because we go through this path over and over and over, at some point we're looking for a cut-through. Maybe that's it.
One of the cut-throughs I think divorced men need to truly focus on is getting out of their own way. Our cups are more than full. They're overloaded with grief on losing our children, navigating through these court systems. No matter what country you're in, they're fucking convoluted and there's stereotypes. There's still stereotypes out there that we're trying to break. How do guys get out of their own way? What's the first step to leveling up?
I think the most important thing for each of us, and this is my cut through, is to truly realize that we can only control ourselves in the moment. And, you know, the things that you just mentioned to me are so deeply troubling. So I can only imagine what you go through. So I'm being very cautious with what I'm saying here, but I think if I can connect it to other experiences I've had that maybe at that low point, if you can say, all I can do is control myself in the situation, there's a sense of karma to that. And all karma is just energy that you push forward that you know is going to come back. So if you are in a situation that is that low and that hard, I would imagine if you can try to find some level above where you are. It wouldn't be fair for me to say, oh, you just think positive. No, that doesn't really work. But to believe that if you can keep control of yourself, the best of your ability, it can only make the situation better, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, we were talking earlier, this sense of regret. So yes, we have this sense of regret. Regret is natural, but to free yourself, if you can look at it as this moment in time where you are now with the knowledge that you have, how would you have changed it?
One of the regrets that I had to work through, which I've worked through, but it hurt for a long time, was the fucking phone, man. The getting the calls, the texts, not even calls. It'd always be texts or emails during my time with my daughters, and I'd answer it. Because phones were new and they didn't have silent functions back then. And you know what? It was, got an email, ding, got a text, ding, ding, and Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
And I took that time that I should have focused with my girls and I dealt with the nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just like deal with nonsense and turn around and be a happy dad. You turn around with the nonsense and you're like, holy crap, I'm going through this nonsense again. Yeah, I would not have engaged, which is exactly what you were talking about. It's exactly what my dad was trying to tell me. It takes two to tango.
Yes.
You can only control what you can control. And the only thing you can control in this world, it's not the weather. It's not the person next to you. It's your own actions.
100%.
Thinking positive isn't easy at all times. And I've had some pretty dark, dark, dark thoughts. But you got to understand, I'm going through a process. I think one of the ways that, and I'm going to just speak from the dad's perspective, dads who are parent alienated, dads who are falsely accused, a lot of guys get pushed to the edge, but so many guys' cups aren't just full, they're overflowing. And the only thing keeping them alive is they know that a parent who commits suicide, their child has a 50% chance of following suit.
Wow.
That's one of the only things that's keeping a lot of these dads alive. That I got to be there for my kid.
Yeah, that's powerful. There was something that you mentioned I wanted to get back to, that you were answering the phone. You can't control the actions that she's doing, right? So she's going to call you. And part of self-awareness is pulling yourself out of yourself enough to then realize you obviously have some perspective of why she's doing this, right? Or did you not?
You don't. So that's funny. That's a great segue. So at the time, and guys, you're going through this right now. At the time, it's a fight. Subconsciously, what I was waiting for was for her to explain why she went to a domestic violence shelter with my children because we yelled at each other. But it was a ploy. It was a game, right? In her mind, I'm assuming it was a game. This is the game you play. So at the time, I was very much trying to figure out what the hell's going on, trying to get that fight, and looking for answers that now we know are never going to come. I am never going to understand why she did what she did. Whether it's she doesn't understand it or it makes her feel better not to explain why she did what she did, it doesn't matter. I can only control what I do. And you got to get to that point where you let that go. So at the time, probably just anger on top of covering my own ass, on top of maybe she'll tell me what's going on. But I think deep down, I was just trying to figure out what the hell is going on and maybe she's finally going to come clean. And you're never going to get that.
So it's interesting. So you're already being operated by your amygdala. I mean, you're in a high stress scenario and her calling, whether she's mindfully aware of it or not, she's playing a game. I'm just trying to call this out. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like when you realize you're in fight or flight mode and you're emotional, you're only using one part of your brain to operate. You know, getting into using tactics, and I am not a professional. I'm sharing stuff that has helped me. Actually, you've talked about also is those breathing techniques, and you can use tapping, things like that. You need to calm yourself down enough to then look at this maybe through one more lens. You have to find a way to be objective with this. Ultimately, if you are aware enough, then you see that it is a game that's being played.
That's got to be what we're going through. You're in fight or flight situation. You're in a high stress situation. The reason I probably picked up the phone was because I'm not fucking running. So I'm fighting. You want to talk about something? I'm not hiding. I'm right here. But that doesn't have to happen immediately. It doesn't have to happen now. I wish I knew that back then. And guys, think about it. You're in a fight or flight situation. You're getting these emails, these texts, these calls. You're getting needled. You're showing that I'm not going anywhere because that's the whole reason dads are still standing tall is because I'm here for my kids. But you don't need to fight at that moment. In fact, you don't really need to even fight at all. You need to focus on your kids.
Where you just ended with that, I mean, that's the part, thinking about the kids and letting that be the driving force for your actions. Because think about, okay, so even, you know, this gets into also this sense of giving yourself forgiveness and giving yourself grace. So for instance, for you, I would imagine some of those calls, you're in posture mode, you're fighting back or you're proving that you are.
No, I always held my tongue because you always know you're being recorded one way or another.
Okay.
But at the same time, I engaged.
Yeah.
And then instead of now being smart enough to not put something down on paper that would be incriminating. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just answer her knee jerk. I had to write it out in Word, spell check it, recheck it, give it 5 minutes, read it again, give it 20 minutes, read it again, fix it, come back to it. Cause I knew it had to be perfect. Everything you say and do will be held against you in a court of law. That takes time. And that took time away from my girls. I'm sorry, girls. Now, focusing on the kids, this is where John and I started talking, how his experience in designing systems can help traumatize people in this divorced industry is you got to make a game of it. And one of the ways I survived, because the school thought I was an asshole, friends knew I weren't, but her friends, her family, everybody we met with the order protection hanging out of the diaper bag thought I was an asshole. You got to make a game of it. And John and I have been talking. In the beginning, my game was to go to the school, be such a nice person that it pissed her the fuck off. That was my goal. Everything that she said, people would smile. I'd see her cringe when people were coming up and being nice to me. That was the game. It's not the game you want to play your whole life. But if that gets you to the next level, maybe that's a step you got to take to just not go down a level or get demoted.
I agree with what you just said. I know we had talked about that at different points. Yeah, I think if you just take it to the next level, what you just said makes complete sense.
What was the John Bishop line about the tiger? you can't be a tiger is one, you're not a tiger, and two, you're not a fucking tiger. Something like that, John. Sorry, I'm misquoting you. I mean, you can only be who you're going to be. We started talking about looking at ourselves and becoming the better version of who we can be. And you said kind of what we're working on here, kind of what you've been working on for years for yourself is it's something for people like you who truly feel a calling for a new chapter in their lives. There's not one divorced person out there who wasn't forced into a new chapter of their life. How do you become in harmony with yourself? And how do you follow your own curiosity by letting go of your ego?
There's a lot there.
Okay, that's fair enough. Break it down to someone's ready to start a new chapter in their life. What's one of the things you looked at first? And I'll tell you one of the things I kind of first looked at.
I'm taking a pause here. Like, so for me, to your point, they're being forced to start this new chapter, which is hard because you feel like the floor has just been dropped out from under you. One of the thoughts I had, I think this is too far of a stretch for where they are because they're probably more connected to the emotions right now. So you can't say like, oh, well, you know, this is all for a reason. I mean, it's...
You can't even see the reason. Yeah.
You can only do that over time.
On the other side.
Yeah, on the other side.
Yeah. So that's perfect. Don't look for the reason now. You're not going to see it. You're not going to find the reasons from them. So don't look for the reasons now.
I'm trying to think through that. It falls back into what we're saying. Take everything a moment at a time. You know, actually, this is something that I learned from Dr. Wayne Dyer. He would talk about how he was an alcoholic. And if he can't say, oh, I won't have a drink in 10 years. But he said, I won't have a drink today.
Right.
And you just string a whole bunch of todays together. But you're not looking so hard at that future because it's too far along.
John, you nailed it. You nailed it right there. So we got to take each day by day. You're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to go, I love my children. And I'll tell you, this is exactly what I fucking did every day for 20 years. You wake up in the morning and you say, I love my children. You try not to fight your ex in your head because you go down that road, you just go insane. But we all do it anyway. And then you remind yourself why you don't do it and you get on with your day.
Yeah.
And then you get an email, a text, a feeling. You get served again. The police are at your door again. You got to take each moment at that moment and say, I love my kids. And that's all that matters. And whatever else it throws at you, I love my kids. That's all that matters. I think that's kind of where we were putting this together is you can't start this thinking everything happens for a reason unless she's a total lunatic. And then you're like, thank God everything happened. Like, God, she cheated on me. I caught her because holy crap. I kept coming home to X, Y, and Z. And she said, it wasn't me.
Everything is in waves. I do believe like if you string each moment, each day, and you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. You know, the world's going to throw more shit at you some days versus other days, but I visualize this. So when you start looking at yourself, you can almost take yourself out of yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying like, oh, it's this grandiose thing, just enough to question, what do I do? Once again, you're trying not to let the emotions get full control over you. That's the other thing is all of this is even like where I am today. I mean, I've been doing this like for 5 years, you know, directly, indirectly for 15.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just like with anything, it's like a muscle. You have to keep on working at it and you'll get better.
Looking at it from a different point of view, you reminded me, that's how I did it scientifically. Whenever I was at the point where I'd lose my mind or at the point where my children mirrored their mother, after I stopped initially freaking out about it, I realized scientifically, this is quite fascinating. And that would actually take me back a little bit. Now, I'm not a scientist. It's never a science buff in school. But just by saying to myself, scientifically, how does that happen? That is so interesting how she can control them. At least it would take me out of the anger moment.
Yeah. So when I mentioned Wayne Dyer and the book that I was connected to with him was Change Your Life, Living the Wisdom of the Tao Te Ching. You know, we have these low points of our lives and some of your audience might be in that low point right now.
Most.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I got out And I actually thought I was, you know, working my way towards divorce myself at this moment.
By the way, John's married with children, never divorced.
Yeah.
Envious.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Like I said, it's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
No storm lasts forever was one of the proverbs in the Tao. And it just creates this perspective. If you have had enough trauma, it's possible that you might just believe that this will never go away.
Yeah.
Or at least it feels that way. It's just, it's so intense. It's like, it's never going to get better.
Yeah.
But the proverb is, you know, no storm lasts forever. It might not be today, might not be next day, but just keeping like some sense of control of yourself, it will get better. I mean, it can't stay like that forever.
I used to tell the girls growing up, and I'll be telling my little ones now, everything seems daunting going through it until you get to the other side. And then you realize how easy that was. And that's how you grow. You get to the other side, you realize, oh, I survived that. And then you do okay. Kind of like what they deal with the Navy SEALs. They put them in situations where they're physically exhausted, but they really work on the mental. And once they get to the other side of that, they realize, holy shit, I can handle anything. And that's kind of how I took with the trauma I'm going through and the constant 20-year battle just to stay in my children's lives. That mental toughness is, like we said, it's harder than physical toughness. But if you can get through it day by day, you don't have to get through it till, you don't have to be like, I want to be like Chuck. His kids are emancipated. Well, almost a couple more years, but his kids are at least adults living their life and beautiful. You can't look at the end. You can't wake up and say, I'm not going to drink 10 years from now. You got to wake up and say, I'm not going to call my ex a fucking bitch today. I'm not going to act like an asshole in front of my kids today. Anything I did to add to the problem I'm in today, okay, I'm going to change that about me, but maybe it's what the person needed on the other side to help them grow too. And hopefully they did. But that's not your problem either. We're at the beginning stages of this. And John and I are talking about maybe quarterly coming up with new ideas as he builds this system to help people overcome their trauma. And there's no one-stop shop. There's nothing in this world that one thing fixes all. We all know that. If you don't know that by now, then I got a bridge I can sell you. With that said, John, free to be yourself and then let go of your own self-imposed limited choices. That's something else we can do on a day-to-day basis. Free to be yourself, understand yourself, and then letting go of your own self-imposed limited choices. I'm thinking things like, I don't want to deal with my ex, so I'm not going to go to my kid's graduation. I don't want to deal with my current spouse, so I'm not going to go to my kid's school play. How do we let go of our own limited self choices?
Yep.
It's got to be a day-to-day movement, right? It's got to be wake up, say, I'm not going to do this because I don't want that. But if it's detrimental to your children, you got to kind of figure out how to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It seems like it's a balancing act, right? I mean, I'll throw this out there. I don't know if it's helpful in this conversation, but the idea of like when you're in the airplane, when the mask drops, put it on yourself first.
Yeah.
There's a sense of like, we have to focus on ourselves. And I think when you're in certain situations that are that troubling, it's so easy to not.
Right.
And I think there's this sense of self-destruction that we do when we do that. I mean, I guess once again, even just be mindful enough to just to make sure you stay healthy.
We definitely talk about that. We talk about guys going to the gym, walking, talking, doing whatever, even going out and having a couple of cocktails with friends on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Not, you know, burying yourself in a bottle, but
yeah,
living your life. If you're not strong, if strong's the wrong word, because everyone's got their weakness. So don't take it as strong as in physical strength. But if you're not present in the now, not only are you missing out on your life experience, but the people around you are missing out on a beautiful you.
That actually connects into like just the idea of what we can only control ourselves. So if you're spending the time to understand your needs through even hard situations, I guess it comes down to like, you know, we all need to feel like we love ourselves, right?
Hopefully.
I mean, hopefully. And I'm sure that's a huge test of what's going on as guys are going through this really hard time. that's probably the last thing in the world for them to think about. When you're going through the darker parts, how did you think of yourself?
I just drank.
It compounds the problem. You're hiding everything in a bottle.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Your kids don't see the true you, because kind of anything's going to change your personality a little bit, good, bad, or indifferent, whether you're just less engaged or an asshole. And I'd get less engaged. You know, let's go watch a movie, just sit in front of TV and stare at it.
Yeah.
Which was fun. I mean, we had fun, but I don't know. Yeah. I did what I did every on a day-to-day basis, and my girls are doing okay. So I did okay. Could I have done better? Sure. And you're right. Maybe I'm being too hard on myself in this conversation, because I can't change the past.
You know, if you give yourself the grace now, like, what would you tell your earlier, younger version of yourself back then? What would you say to that person to change the trajectory?
You know what? I just thought of this now, and this might be what we all need. It's not going to be all right 20 years from now, but it is going to be all right today. We got to break that down even to just get through today, right? One day at a time, same exact scenario. You know, I was always worried, are my girls going to survive this? Are they going to survive this? You know what? Don't know. But you know what I do know? They're going to survive today. There's nothing in their path that's going to hurt them today. There's nothing in their path right now that is going to hurt your children today. That's not all of us. Some of us out there, we got some brothers that we talk to daily that, you know, their exes are crazy and their kids are not in good places right now. And that's unfortunate. But the majority of us just have a poor choice partner who's using a child as a weapon. And if the weapon is only to hurt us, then let them think they're hurting us. Let our exes think they're hurting us, because our children will be okay today, if that makes sense.
It's interesting the way you when you were saying that, it got to this kind of theme that I believe that everyone should have. Somehow you have to become the hero of your journey. You have to become the version of yourself that you look at and say, yeah, that's the version I want to be. Easier said than done. I keep on thinking, even where I am right now, and just trying to be more present with my family, where I'm very easily, you know, once again, I've been doing this understanding myself, and I know kind of my pitfalls. One of my pitfalls is being very, I guess, narcissistic in a way. I mean, self-absorbed, because I'm a part of my personality type. But being more present with my family, I'm helping them more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being a better listener. I'm being someone who helps and nurtures more versus fanning fires and causing mayhem, I guess.
We had talked about owning your thoughts. So in the beginning, I'll never say these things over air because I don't want to give anybody any things, but I've gone down some real dark roads. And as a writer, I can make them good. I can make them horrible. I can make them really make you smile when you're thinking about your ex. But that's not the guy who I am, or the guy I want to be. And one of the things the youngest of the oldest said to me was, we can see you're a really good guy now, but you were probably a bastard back then. Okay. No, I was a different person. And they even said, my children today have a better dad than they had. And I actually agreed with them, and it took them back, because doing a daily leveling up, I want to be a better person because I want to enjoy my life. I don't want to leave this planet angry. You're definitely going to be a better person. A better dad second time around, better worker the second job around, if you're constantly trying to improve yourself. If you're not, you'll be the same old asshole. Jelly Roll, same old asshole. If you don't know it, I'll send it to you. Great song.
You know, and the way to do that is you have to reflect. As time progresses, you know, you reflect on what your actions, the things that you've done, the things that, you know, may have triggered certain things. The thing that has freed me, about a year and a half ago, I got to this place where I don't judge anyone. I think the powerful part of that is twofold. It's like, I don't judge anyone, and it really includes myself. I try to see things neither good nor bad. They just are. Okay, here's what it comes down to. When you become self-aware, for what it's worth, I mean, I don't know if this stat is correct, but I did a Google search for self-awareness, like what are the percentages of it? And like it was like 85% of people think they're self-aware. Oh, that's... and the reality is only 15% are.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying I'm working towards it. Because even that is like it's constant work. If you can look at yourself, you can then accept certain things. It's almost like, okay, I've been this person for so many years. I'm aware of that now. I can't continue that. I can't justify it any longer. I have to take responsibility for it. It's always a choice. You know, speaking from my point, you look at yourself and accept yourself, the good and the bad. We're all on this journey, and this journey is easy at times, it's hard at times. Each of us have their own journey. And I know for myself, when I look at myself through the lens of, okay, here are all the bad things that I've done, part of my personality type, I can own that. I can't accept it. I can't use that as an excuse any longer.
I like that. I like that a lot. So John and I have been tossing around this idea for a while. We're trying to work out a segment where quarterly, monthly, somewhere, we're going to keep delving deep into mistakes we've made and maybe ways that you won't have to make those same mistakes. It's an old saying, a smart person learns from their own mistakes. A wise person learns from the mistakes of others. Let's hope we got some wise people out there, because you can save your kids a lot of grief and yourself a lot of headaches. John, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate everything. I really look forward to our talks every week. John, thanks a lot, brother.
Thanks, Chuck. I love it.
I love it too, bro.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Very cool. John and I have stared down some dark, dark barrels, and we came out on the other side. So let's get some more people out on the other side. One of the things that John says that really caught my attention was you have to look at your unintentional wrongs as the universe helping others grow. We've all talked about this, right? Other people get in our way. We got to overcome our own demons. We've got to overcome anything that the universe throws in our way to keep us from our goal. But take it one step further. We need to learn to forgive ourselves because we were something that somebody else might have needed at that time. Making life a game based on a negative, it'll help you. It'll help you for the short term, as long as your goal is to get to that positive thinking. Don't look for the reason now. You're not going to see it. You're not going to find the reasons from them. So don't look for the reasons now.
All right, Joe, take us on home.
We must get our voices out there. Send us your stories to whydaddynevercries@gmail.com or whydaddynevercries on Facebook. Remember, this is a daily and sometimes hourly struggle. So follow us on Daddy Never Cries at Twitter and Why Daddy Never Cries on Instagram, and let your voice be heard. Let's end the fatherless children syndrome that's plaguing this world.
The team of Why Daddy Never Cries consists of Joe, the voice of reason, Nicole Kelleher, and Scott Hall. Thanks, everybody.
You can't change what happened to you, brothers. What you can control, however, is how you react to every situation. So you got to figure out how to make it work for you. And when life gave me lemons, I said the hell with the glass. I'm making an international lemonade franchise. So until next time, you've got this, Daddy.